Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for this year that you have brought us to, for the beginning of new things in our life. We thank you because you have a plan, you have a purpose. There is something specific you are doing for us this season. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say that let your spirit enlighten our hearts so that we will not miss our portion of that thing in the name of Jesus. We ask for the spirit of wisdom for this year. We ask for the spirit of understanding for this season, Lord, that we'll be able to decode that bread that will give us strength to overcome all the challenges that this year might bring. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. All right. Now, I want to just, if you remember, before we closed last time, we did the two Saturdays that we met here last. We taught on what subject? Who can remember? All right, getting the spirit of men. And it was really an enlightening time for me, and I believe that you were blessed by them, by those two teachings. But after thinking and praying, I realized that, I feel impressed upon to start from there. In fact, the way I feel is that those two tapes should become like number 3 and 4 of what we are going to of these ones. You know, we'll just merge it together. Now, the good thing is that the tapes are always there, so one can listen to it and catch whatever was said then that I will not say now. But I'm sure I'll say a lot of the things that I said then. But this time, then I was rushing because we're about to close these meetings for the year. But this time, I'll take my time and really, really explain. Now, along the line, well, it was around that time that thing began to stir up in my spirit. And since then, I've taught a lot in a number of places. I told you I was in Sokoto and then also in church here. And that thing keeps on coming back, all right, inside all the messages I preach. I gave Kingsley a tape that I preached in church the other day. You know, let me be honest with you. I preached that message, and it happens to me a lot like that, that you want to preach something, just before you step up, a word just drops into your spirit, and that becomes the main thing that you're talking about. And after preaching that one, that's about 2 Sundays ago in church, second service, at least 10 people, well, let me say, about 10 people came to me and said that one brother said, between God and me, we finished him. You understand? Now, other people came and said, my God, this has been a turning point in their lives. And that was that message was, by the last Sunday of last year. Yes, that was when I preached it in church. And last Sunday, my pastor was saying something in church that after that message, about 4 people called him and said that they were resigning their jobs. Yes, because of what the Spirit of God ministered to them. And interestingly, most people have traveled that period. Well, I listened to the tape myself later. I couldn't see what was in it that was disturbing everybody. You understand? But that tells me that there is an anointing. There is a spirit that the word carries. That Jesus said, the letters or the flesh profits nothing, but it is the spirit that gives life. Now, for that reason, I just want to recommend that maybe all of us will catch something from it. The tape is available. The title is Quench. That's what did I call it again? Quench Not the Spirit. Yes, it's part of our tapes catalog. I just want to recommend it. All right. Now, so that will also fit this whole series. If we were putting tapes into packages, we'll probably package everything together, include that one also. All right. And then people will be able to get a lot of things from it. What I want to start talking about today is still along those same lines, and I will title this topic, The Power of the Spirit. Now, did you hear that? Okay, I think it's clear. The power of the Spirit. Now, I will start. Let's just read, let's take a text scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. To our, I think, about the scripture I quote the most. I'll read from verse 3. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's just what I want to read there. Faith tells us that there are physical things that we can see. They were prepared by God's word. And then he said that those things that we see were not made out of the things that appeared before them. You understand what I mean? That is, if you see a man become king in a land, take example, Pharaoh, the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and he became a king in Egypt. What the Bible is saying that if you look back through his life, you will not be able to predict that if you were in his life, now let me go back that way, if you were in his life walking with him, you will not be able to predict that one day this man will become the Pharaoh in Egypt. That's what he's saying. But that what made him Pharaoh was because God said, you know, by the words, the Bible said, were framed by the word of God. That what made him Pharaoh was that God said, for this cause I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. You understand? That I might show my glory because of you. He said, that was why I raised you up. Meaning that the reason why the man became Pharaoh was not because he was qualified to be Pharaoh or that he schemed to become Pharaoh, but because God called him to become Pharaoh. Do you understand my point? He will tell you that I called the man, or he said, I called a bird of prey from the far east, and I called the man of my purpose from a distant country. He spoke to Isaiah, he said, I have called Cyrus by name. Why? Because he's going to make my oppressed go free. What I'm saying is that no matter what people would do against Cyrus, one thing they would not be able to do was to kill him before he became the king, and they would not be able to stop him from being king. That no matter what they tried, you understand, they will not be able to frustrate the purpose of God that has called Cyrus by name. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is not, no man becomes anything in life that God did not purpose for him to become. Now, there is a, I'm sure if you listen to this, amongst many other things we have said in the past, you'll be able to understand. But what the scripture was saying is that you cannot, by virtue of what you are seeing today, determine what you will be tomorrow. Do you understand my point? That's why Solomon said it this way. I have looking under the sun, I have observed that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, that time and chance happens to all men. What it means is that a man who you by his credentials you thought would be the best in life will turn out not to be. And the person who you thought should not even come near there will be the one that's the best. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the scripture is saying. But then you see, actually what is happening is, like Solomon said, that if you look at it under the sun, it appears like it's time and chance. But Paul said that it is God that shows mercy. Do you understand my point? That is, if you read from them from Psalm 75, he said that, maybe we should read that so that we won't just be reading everything off head. From Psalm 75, from verse 6. It said, for not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert or south comes exaltation. It said, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Now listen to this. When he was saying that not from the east or the west, he was saying, in effect, that not from your surrounding circumstances can we decide what your life will be tomorrow. That is, you are being brought up in a nation that is said to be poor. You were born in the time of famine. That's what the Bible calls, you know, east or west. That is the surrounding circumstances. You left school at the time where jobs have become very scarce. Or they tell you that banks are not giving loans to people like you to start their business. The Bible said that is not the reason why you will be down. Listen. A lot of people have excuses for the reason why they are not making progress. I remember I told you a story once, which I heard from the mouth of this man of God, Tunde Bakari, about his half-brother, who kept on, every time he comes to him to beg for money, he will say, if my father had not died, if my father had not died. As far as he's concerned, the reason why he didn't make progress in life was because his father died. Because there was nobody to give him money to go to school. You understand what I'm saying? And they said, at the point in time, he got so angry and told the man, me that you are coming to collect money from, am I not born by this same father that died? In fact, I should be more disadvantaged because you were older when the man died than I was. You understand that is? You took some things out of him before he died. So what I'm saying is that the excuse that people give for failure, God said, is not correct, because he said, the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. Do you understand my point? That the invisible qualities of a man is what will cause God to set him up and bring another and set another one down. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, there are invisible qualities, there are things that are in the spirit that causes God to set men up. So he said here, God is the judge, and the meaning of the word judge means that he puts down one and exalts another. Do you understand that? Now, the emphasis I want to lay there from all I've said is that physical things are controlled by spiritual things. This has been an important truth that I have tried to explain to Christians again and again. Remember that when we are talking along the line, I have this habit of quoting from 1 Chronicles chapter 10, talking about the life of Saul. That Saul died, the Bible said in verse 13, for his trespass which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it. He said in verse 14, and did not inquire of the Lord. He said, therefore, he, that is the Lord, killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Now, he said, the Lord killed him. Yet, if we read back upwards, we'll see that he was injured in battle and then he committed suicide because of the injury that he suffered in battle. Yet, the Bible tells us that it was God that killed him, meaning that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. Do you understand that? You know, the other day I was reading along these lines, and I came across the story of Ahab. That the same thing happened to Ahab. When Ahab was going to die, God said, "Who will send him, entice him to go to battle, so that he might be killed?" You understand my point? Yet, when he was going to battle, he disguised himself. When the Syrians tried to kill him, they didn't find him. Yet, a Syrian soldier just shot his arrow at random. My Bible uses the word random, in the direction of the armies of Israel. And he got the king, who had disguised as a common soldier. Not only did he get him, the arrow hit him between the joints of his armor. Do you understand my point? That is probability. I mean, it was less than 1 in 10, maybe less than 1 in 100,000 that will happen. But you see, it's not a matter of chance. You understand my point? If you look at it like Solomon said, under the sun, it will appear as if time and chance happened to him. But what happened to Ahab was that God had determined that he will die in this battle. Do you understand the point I'm making? I'm saying all this to bring the point back to us that spiritual things absolutely control the physical. Jesus told his disciples, he said, after his resurrection, now, he said, these were the things that I told you before I died, while I was still with you. That is, all the events that you are seeing now were first spoken to you as words, meaning that the events were not accidents. I laid down my life of myself. It was not because I did not know to hide when the Roman soldiers or the people who wanted to kill me were coming. That's not the idea. He said, but I laid down my life of myself. He said, all these things that you saw were first spoken to you at a point in time as words. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, spiritual things absolutely control the physical. There are no accidents on this earth. They don't exist. You know, the other day somebody was telling me about a man that died. You know, it was in a ghastly motor accident coming down to Enugu. Everybody in the car died. Everybody. Now, before the last person died, he said something that when they were coming, you know, he said, the guy telling me the story said he observed it and said that these guys were careless. They were over speeding. So the guy confirmed that indeed they were speeding. And yes, what happened was that another bigger vehicle lost control and ran into them. Okay? But he told me something which was instructive. So the guy said, as they were approaching Enugu, he said, that is the guy who died last, that he said that as they are approaching town, you know, maybe he was uncomfortable with the seatbelt. So he removed the seatbelt and said, if anything happens, they will take me to UNTH or orthopedic hospital. And they indeed took him first to UNTH and then to orthopedic hospital, and there he died. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That, listen, Jesus said, the things you have seen were first spoken to you as words. Do you understand my point? God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah told Sarai, his secretary, he said, read these words over Babylon and then declare to her, falling is Babylon. You know, that is, you know, he said, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Now, this is the thing that brought forth the destruction of Babylon was the words that were spoken in accordance with the plan of God. Do you understand my point? Let me summarize everything I've said so far in these few words. Spiritual things control the physical. Don't let's ever forget that. You see, I know we have talked along this line extensively, but I cannot say it enough, because people still a lot of time think that things are a matter of luck or matter of wise planning. Now, let me just say this. As much as spiritual things control the physical, you will find out that the control over the spiritual realm rests extensively in the hands of men. Do you understand my point? Now, I'll make a few points here, and then, as part of the main thing I want to say, I just use that one to begin what I want to say here. Now, one of the things I explained to us in the past is that Maurice Cerullo said that spiritual truths are very parallel to spiritual and to physical ones. That is, when you see something happen in the physical, it's a reflection of what is going on in the spiritual realm. That is true. But then the other way I look at it is that when you see physical laws, you understand, it's easy for you to identify spiritual laws. That is, to describe spiritual laws using those physical laws. You remember that the one I use here most of the time is talking about Isaac Newton's first law of motion that says every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line. That is the law of inertia, until an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. Now, that is a physical law, but it applies exactly like that in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, bear that in mind as we are going on, because one of the things I want to explain first, that after I explain the fact that the spiritual things are more important, physical things are not half as important as spiritual things. Spiritual things control the physical. I told a story once. Remember, I just need to explain that again. I need to drum it in. One brother was telling me a story that he used to have a feeling that I wouldn't live beyond the age of, I think it's 30 or 33. And I can't remember exactly now. He said, he used to have a feeling as if, we just discussed and I was sharing the testimony with me. I don't know whether I mentioned it to us sometime in the past. So he said that he used to have a feeling that somebody is behind him all the time. Then one day he gave his life to Christ, and that first one stopped. You know, he doesn't even know. He said he couldn't remember exactly when it ended, but just knew that fear, that thing had just departed away from him. But that this feeling never left him, that he wasn't going to live beyond a particular age. I think he said, let's just assume 35. I can't remember for sure. Now, but so he would pray about it and stuff like that. He now said that one day he was going out. This was about 4 days or 5 days before his 35th birthday, assuming that he said age 35. I told you I can't remember for sure. And suddenly, two young men, armed robbers in a vehicle, overtook his car. He just parked. They just drew up beside him, and the mean-looking one just faced him, pointed his gun, and fired for no reason. You understand? It's not as if he didn't even know what was going on. Somebody just stopped, shot at him. In fact, if the guy had killed him, you would have thought it was an assassin or something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And he said that he heard the gun go off, but he didn't feel anything, nothing. So, let me call the story short. Eventually, they took him in the car and then abandoned him, dropped him off, and took away his car. So he went to the police station to go and report. When he got to the police station, there was the car they came down from, all right, to take his own, had somebody else in it who was the owner of that car. So after that incident involving him, that guy had gone to that same police station to go and report the robbery, and that they took another car and killed the driver. So when the guy was telling the story, he said he got there and told them that car, you were there. Yes, it's my car. The guy said, but they killed you. He said, no, they didn't. The guy began to swear that, look, I saw them killing this man. Now, let me tell you, there's something I wanted to note from there. Later on, let me tell you a story. He said, just before then, he was about to wind down his glass, but he changed his mind. Shortly after, that guy shot at him, and the mechanism that rolls the glass up and down, the bullet lodged inside it. Are you getting my point? Now, it happens like time and chance happens to all men. But the truth was that having given his life to Christ and prayed to God, what indeed would have happened, there was just a demonstration in the physical that this was what Satan wanted to do with your life that I stopped him from doing. Look, there's, you say, I don't know how far these tapes will go, so there are stories I don't want to put on tape, and I don't want to interrupt what we are saying, all right? But there are things you will hear, all right? It will make your ears tingle. You'll see that men who just think that life moves only in the realm of the physical, they are absolutely stupid. Do you get my point? Was it this morning, I was watching, you know, this tsunami that happened in Asia, that killed, as of now, over 160,000 people are recorded dead. It meant a lot of them at night. If you don't know what a tsunami is, it's just a giant wave, maybe like 30 meters high, crashing on the land. So it will move several hundred meters into the land, killing and maiming and destroying in its path. Today, I told myself that maybe Christiana Mampo is a born-again Christian. I don't know. Do you know why? Now, she's a very influential reporter. You understand my point? She's one of the top reporters. In fact, she's the world's number one war correspondent. She's covering the incident. This morning, or was it yesterday, I was watching a report she was giving about one man of God that ran an orphanage. So all the children are his kids. I forgot, maybe about 20. I can't remember the exact number now. And they were showing this man, I think this was in Sri Lanka, right? Yeah, Sri Lanka. That the man said he was sleeping. Suddenly his wife rushed him and said, "The sea is coming, the sea is coming." So he woke up, rounded up all the children. There was a boat behind the lagoon, on the lagoon behind their house. Everybody jumped into it. And that normally they don't leave the motor inside it, the outboard motor, but that is the first time ever they ever left it in it. Again, that is the first time ever they started the engine with one try. He said they began to race, but the water was coming behind them. He looked at the huge black wave and knew there was no how they could run it. This was on CNN. I couldn't believe this CNN was airing this. He said that suddenly he turned around and faced the wave and said that, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." On CNN, I couldn't believe CNN was allowing this to go. He said then an idea came to him and said, "There is no way, that there is no how, that the best way is to ride over this way." So he told the guy riding, "Turn around and face it." So as the tsunami was coming, they were running, rushing full blast towards it. Let me cut the long story short. They rode above the thing, it carried them down to the land and dropped them. Everybody survived. So as far he said that, "I prayed to my God and he answered me." Listen, Chris Okote used to say, there is no destruction that takes everybody. Yeah. And let me let you know, the people that survive don't survive by accident. That's the point I wanted to make. And nobody dies by accident. Look, when God was speaking to Jeremiah, he said, "This is what I'm going to do. I will kill everybody, but you, I will give you your life as a booty." He told the angel, "Go to the land and mark everybody who is sighing and groaning because of the iniquity that is in the land. Only the one that is so marked will survive." So you will find that they probably destroyed maybe 100,000 people. And one man will accidentally survive. That night, he went somewhere. I remember long ago, I read a story in Reader's Digest about a village that was buried. Look, there was a dam not too far away. It broke. So the water carried a lot of debris and just buried the whole village. Only two people survived. I think two or three people. One of them was a pastor who went to the mountain, I think, to go and pray. He happened to have just gone up the hill and he was sitting down. And he watched the water bring the debris and buried the village in an instant. No, get my point. Just buried it. Let me just say this again. Physical things are not accidents. Spiritual things are real. In the realm of the spirit, accidents don't happen. They absolutely control the things that occur in the physical. Do you understand that? Now, let me get back to my point I was trying to make before I went off that way again. I was explaining that, see, physical laws that you find, exactly, they very, very well explain spiritual laws. Do you understand? Now, for that reason, I will educate us a bit about science, all right? I hope it doesn't sound too high. I'll make it very basic. Then I'll go ahead to explain something about the spirit. Now, Now, if you look at life, now I want to talk about science a bit. Having, well, I did some science. Well, I studied medicine, so I had to do some science. Apart from that, I like reading, you know. So I still read around anything I see that's interesting, and I learn a lot that way. While meditating about this, I realized that everything in life is kept in place by forces. Do you understand my point? Let me explain. This chair is not crashing through this decking simply because the power pulling the chair down is not as strong as the one keeping it in place. Do you follow me? There is a constant force that pulls everything towards the center of the earth. It's called gravity. The only reason why you have not reached the center of the earth is because there are other things keeping you where you are. Do you understand my point? Now you see that, but we're on land, yes. But there's what is called quicksand. Go and stand on quicksand. It will give way. The forces keeping the particles of the sand together are not strong enough to withstand the weight that you will constitute if you stand on them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, everything in life is kept in place by, let me put it like this. The position of everything is a resolution of all the forces that are acting upon that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get that clearly. Now, that's just the way it is in the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit also, there are spiritual forces. And whatever the position one person is in life, or what will become of him, is the resolution of all the spiritual forces working on that person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm just laying some foundation. We'll develop them as we go on. Now, another thing I want to understand is this. These objects that I'm talking about, physical objects now, not only are affected by forces around them, but they have inherent forces in themselves that are affecting other objects around them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, what I was teaching the other day, I used Isaac Albert Einstein's description of gravity as an example. Oh, let me just go into the details again, please, so that I don't bore you and drive you off, all right, mentally speaking now. But imagine that Isaac Newton said that every object has an attractive force, you understand? That is what they call gravity. So the earth is being attracted towards the sun, and the sun is being attracted to one other sun, you know, just a network of attractions. Now, that means therefore that every time you place, like now, if you were to manufacture a new sun and put it somewhere around, okay, it will affect the movement of the earth. In fact, the fact that the earth doesn't move in a perfect circle around the sun is because of other forces, some of them 100 light years away, pulling on it. Sometimes astronomers will look and finally find out, okay, this is the reason why the sun and the earth moves a bit out of orbit at a particular point in time, because they found one star 50 light years away, tugging on it very gently but persistently. It's been said that the tide of the sea, you know, the level of the ocean, is determined by the proximity of the moon. The moon attracts the water, on the earth, so that sometimes it rises, and when the moon is far away, it collapses back. Now, get that point. What I want to emphasize is this. Everything in life, talk about human beings now, we spirit beings, your presence everywhere stirs up movement in the realm of the spirit also. That's why people talk about an aura. Do you understand my point? You know, there are people who will enter places and they just bring joy to where they get to. There are those that are so unhappy that even if you don't know they are around, once they come and sit near you, sadness, suddenly you start feeling sad for nothing. Are you getting my point? I think I gave an illustration the other day about, was it here? Yes, last year. I explained that a story this man told, Ed Cole, that said a man called him, one of his friends, that he's been having thoughts, you know, funny thoughts of, you know, adulterous relationships. And for goodness sake, he's a happily married man that believes in the Lord with all his heart and walks righteously. The idea alone caused him to call his pastor friend that what is going on. And the guy just told him, look around the office. Somebody's sending waves in your direction. No, are you getting what I'm saying? And of course, when he thought about it, he realized who it was, and well, he went ahead and solved the problem. You understand? Now, what I'm trying to explain with all this is that, see, life is dictated let me put it like this. Your life, what is becoming of you right now, and what your life will become tomorrow, is the resolution of the spiritual forces that are working upon you. Now, there's another point I want you to understand. These spiritual forces is what the Bible often calls spirits. Now, when you use the word spirit generally in the Bible, it's not talking about beings. Now, let me explain that. That's why a man can have a spirit of, like you tell it, something like, what does it say now? The spirit of heaviness. Yeah, that's the point I want to get across. Spirit of heaviness. You tell you that to give them a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is not an evil spirit of heaviness. You have to understand that. It's a force within those people acting upon them that time that keeps them in persistent depression. Now, let me tell you this. Spiritual things are very strong. You see, you know, a man told me something once, which is very, very... You know, I told you the other time that one thing that's very common in Nigeria right now is that, see, there's a spirit of corruption in the air. All right? It's there. You know, I've said it before that an average American, an average Briton is not intrinsically different from an average Nigerian. Okay? There are reasons why one would behave different from another. But the spiritual reason, actually, people will tell you it's poverty, is this, is that, is lack of this, is because there's no law. No. The real reason is that in the air, there is a spirit that controls the behaviors of men. That's why if a Nigerian lives here, goes to live in the U.S., after some time, you will notice that divorce rate amongst Americans and Nigerians that immigrated and came and met them there, the rate of divorce begins to equalize. It takes some time, but eventually, the spirit that breaks down marriages there catches on these other people too. Things they could have survived under a different atmosphere, they will not be able to survive it there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, men behave by virtue of the forces that control that are in the air. It affects people. You see, if you've read the story about missionaries and apostles, people who break new grounds, they will tell you about a man is on this side of a country. He's not receiving the gospel. He crossed to another country. Suddenly his heart is open. He's willing to listen to you. Now, they said there is a principality in the air. That is true. Because, you see, one thing you have to understand is that these spiritual forces are... Look, everything in life is maintained. Now, let me put it like that. The Bible said that God, by him, all things were made, right? Now, he now said that he upholds all things by the word of his power. That is, anything that remains is maintained by somebody. When you talk about principalities, actually, what they are evil, that's demonic personalities that control the spirit that's in the air. That is an general attitude inside people. Get that very clear. So that people start behaving in manners that are beyond them. There was one film I saw once on, it was a drama I saw on Hallmark. I can't remember now, but you know, I told you before that when I'm watching things, there's a way I hear everything. Okay. So this person was describing how in the devil invented a mirror. Do you understand? And then the little evil spirits were so excited about the mirror that it dropped and broke. And then broke to a million pieces. Tiny bits of glass that fell down to the earth and fell into the eyes of men. And that when it entered their eyes, good became bad. And then bad became good. Beautiful things became ugly and ugly things became beautiful. Somebody was telling me recently, Kingsley, was it you? I don't know. Somebody was telling me about one man who said that rock music is of the devil. How does he know? Because to them, that there are these young people who listen to one hard metal rock. When they finish, they enter their rooms, dressed up, you know, change their appearance, color their hair, and to them, they were looking fine. What would have looked grotesque to them 1 hour ago, suddenly looking beautiful. That is, a spirit that entered their eyes and changed their perception of things. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, get that very clear. Now, those things affect people. People move into certain areas and their life is controlled by things that are beyond them. You get to a place, I told you the other day, British Embassy had to clear all their staff they had in Lagos because those ones are drunk of the spirit of corruption. you know, after they left them in Nigeria for some time, the spirit of corruption had entered into white men. They had to evacuate everybody and send them home because they couldn't understand. These guys, after interacting, you see, in physical things, if I have a piece of metal, I want it to become magnetic. I take a piece of metal, a magnet, and rub it on it. Take away the magnet. That metal has become magnetic. I can impose a charge on something by taking something that has a lot of charge on it, push it on another one. No, that's how spiritual things are. You have to understand that. That's how spiritual things are. But anyway, let me not end today by not saying this. There is what the Bible calls the father of all spirits. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The one that comes out of God. Paul, at a point in time, said that the things that I will to do, I can't even do it. Who would deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 8. Because I have to say that before it appears like I'm just scaring people that in life. He said, there is... Now, let me read from chapter 7, verse 24. He said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? He said, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with one hand, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Now, this is what he's saying here. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you understand my point? That is, there's what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. I'll talk about that in details later, because when we are talking about spiritual forces, just like in the realm of the natural, you can generate electricity, you can generate a charge inside an object. In the same manner, everybody has been given the opportunity to be able to generate the kind of spiritual force that emanates out of his being. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Yes, you step into a place where there is a spirit of corruption in the air. Paul said there is a law of the spirit that's in Christ Jesus that makes you not subject to that law, that spirit of corruption that's in the air. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, it is possible to get to a place where a particular spirit is prevalent in the air and it can't touch you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what the Bible calls having the spirit of Christ. You have to understand. Sometimes we explain things, you know, we just accept it doesn't make too much meaning. When you talk about having the spirit of Christ, you say the spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, you know, third person in God. No, that one I gist. The truth is that there is a spiritual force that resides inside you once you become a believer in Christ Jesus. And that force, the Bible makes it clear, is greater than any other one. Greater is he that is in you, he says, than he that's in the world. That is, the principality enforcing the evil spirit, the evil spiritual force in the air, is inferior to the one that God, the person who is enforcing the law of Christ inside your members. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? I just wanted to say that as we are passing on. Now, what I've said all of these things to come to a point. You know, I was reading a book by Oswald Chambers, I think this afternoon. I think The Moral Foundations of Life. You know? The man has some strange titles, all right? And the man began to explain some things. And, you know, he described what he called imitation, emulation, curiosity, ambition, and stuff like that. He said they are all natural human traits. And they are not evil. They are not good. That just depends on how somebody uses it. You understand? Like talking about imitation, God said, Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He talked about being imitators of God as little children. Oswald Chambers was saying that, can you imagine a child that does not practice imitation? That the way children learn is by, and that is true, if you've been around the child, everything you do, you understand? They don't care whether it's good or bad. Once they see you do it, the child wants to repeat what you have done. You understand my point? Now, let me get back to what I'm saying. Oswald Chambers was saying that there are natural inclinations in life, all right, that are not evil, but they need to be harnessed to do the will of God. You understand my point? Now, what I want to explain is this. I have said all these things I have said to bring a point out that... Now, let me say this before I say the point I want to make. Now, what I said let me repeat it, that the resultant effect, therefore, of what a man becomes in life or what goes on in his life, what goes on in somebody's life or what he becomes is a resultant of the forces acting upon him. When we were doing physics in secondary school, they talked about resultant force. You understand? That is, after adding everything together, in which direction will this object move? You understand my point? That is, 10 of you are pushing a car. 5 from this side, 4 from this side. There are another 5 people at the back. At the end of the day, if you draw the line of their actions, they are not all going in a straight line. But at the end of the day, the car can only move in one direction. Do you understand my point? The car cannot go in two directions. And the force with which it's moving in one direction is what they call the resultant force. You understand my point? Now, in the same manner, all the things acting upon somebody's life pushes him somewhere. Meaning, therefore, that where he will get to, listen, is a product of the totality of the forces acting upon him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't forget that I said some of them emanate from inside him. Don't forget that I said as forces are coming out and some people are walking through spiritual forces, they are also producing their own. For example, Jacob went to the house of Laban, and Laban went one day for divination. And the diviner told Laban, do you know why you have prospered so much in the last many years? He said, why? Because there is one man living in your house. He said, who? The only man that came to my house recently is my nephew Jacob. He said, good. The spirit said, it is Jacob. You know, that's what Laban said. He said, I have divined that I have been blessed on your account. Do you understand my point? When Joseph entered the house of Potiphar, he brought in a blessed spirit, so that because of Joseph, the Bible testifies that the house of Potiphar was blessed. Do you understand me? Listen to me. It was that same spirit that blessed the land of Egypt. It was that same spirit that was in Joseph that blessed the land of Egypt. Now, what I'm trying to come to is this. When there are spiritual forces working on a man, they lead him in a particular direction. Like Paul testifies, it's not always where he wants to go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me explain. After Adam sinned, Genesis chapter 3, what did God tell him? Let's open your Bibles there. I think I have some time to clarify that. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. For time's sake, I'll just read the portion that went to Adam. From verse 17. The second part. He said, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. He said, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you turn to the ground. Let me just stop there. Now, this point I want to make here. What God was telling Adam in effect is simple. There is a force that has been introduced that has removed productivity from the earth. Do you understand? Let me just summarize in one word. That word is what is called death. Okay? That's what is called death. Death is that spiritual force that removes productivity from the earth. But what I want to notice is this. He now said, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. Now listen. Before that, he said, this ground will bring what for you? Thorns and thistles. He now said, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. But this will only come one way. He said, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. Now listen to this. Before now, the earth was meant to be fruitful and multiply for Adam. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was a spiritual force God placed upon it. That is naturally, instinctively, the earth will produce what is good for Adam. Then because of the sin that he committed, the earth became cursed. So that the spiritual force prevalent upon the earth now says that thorns and thistles it will produce for Adam. But Adam can still get bread out of it. How? Sweat. Now, that is the only difference. Before, he wouldn't need to sweat. Now, he can. Now, and this is the point I want to make. The point is that you can, by energy, fight against spiritual forces going one direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let me say it again. That a man can strive. Let me explain this. There are people who have the spirit of poverty upon them, but they manage to eat. What God was saying is by sweat. That's why he says it is vain to rise up early. That's why Jesus will tell you something like, these things the Gentiles seek after. That is, there is a way the Gentiles labor to fight against corruption in the land. That what I mean by corruption, I don't mean people who are stealing money. I mean the decadence, the decay that's in the productivity of the land. So that from it they can get bread. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But the point I want you to understand is that it is possible, therefore, that somebody will walk in the realm of the spirit. That is, no, let me put it like this. Spiritual forces will work for somebody appropriately so that he doesn't eat bread out of sweat. That's what I want to conclude today by saying. Now, do you understand my point? That is, there is a power in the spiritual realm. What Paul was saying, therefore, is this. He said, labor to enter into his rest. Because anyone that has entered into God's rest has ceased from all his works. Let me explain what the meaning of rest. Rest is a place where you are that without sweating, like Adam was supposed to sweat, you are still getting bread out of life. Do you understand me? The principle of rest is that things are working together for you. That spiritual forces are causing good to come in your direction. That is the principle of rest. It's different from the sleep of death. You know, you know why we call the sleep of death? The sleep of death, like David said, they will say, hey, where is your God? That is, you're not moving, but nothing is happening. Rest is that you're not moving, but everything is happening. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. I know it sounds a bit technical, but it's important that we get this clear. That there is what is called rest. Now, let me tell you what. When you are in rest, what is happening is this. Spiritual things are now doing the work that sweat was meant to do for you. And you know, there's one single word in the New Testament that's used to describe that. Who can guess? Grace. Thank you. God bless you. That is the word, grace. Grace is when the power of God working in the realm of the Spirit has organized for the resultant force, you understand what I mean now, in your life to move only in the direction of productivity and you're not sweating. So Paul will say that by the grace of God, I am what I am. That the grace of God working towards me did not prove vain. How do I know? Because I know let me use the word now. He said, I labor more than them, or that is, I produce more work more than everybody else. But it's not I, it is the grace of God working with me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, spiritual things working together to produce results in your life is what is called grace. Do you understand the point I'm making? Look, let me summarize everything I'm saying. That is, in life, we are not meant to struggle. That's what everything I'm saying so far. That the Bible said there is a proper procedure for every event under the sun. That there is a way things are supposed to be. That is, God has made things so that if you work according to the proper procedure, without sweating, you will get results. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, when Joseph was going to be appointed king in Israel, in Egypt, you know that he couldn't have struggled to get there. One, he was a foreigner. Two, he was a foreign slave. Three, he was a foreign slave in prison. Four, he was a foreign slave in prison because he offended a high-ranking man in Egypt. Everything was working against him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yet, one day, the Bible said the king sent for him and loosed him. The ruler of the peoples of Egypt decided that from now on, Joseph, you are going to be the ruler in this land. He said, only in name will I be greater than you. But how did he start? He said that, seeing that in you dwells the spirit of the gods, that is a divine spirit, meaning that there is a force coming out of you that is producing these things in your life. Get me? What I'm trying to emphasize is that Paul said, labor to enter into that place where spiritual things work for you. Remember that I started today by saying that, let's not deceive ourselves. Physical things are absolutely subject to spiritual things. Do you understand me? That a man who spiritual things are working in his favor is said to be working in grace. Do you get my point? And I said that everywhere you go, there is a spiritual force that is upon you, that is inherent inside you. And there are spiritual forces around. All kinds of forces. At the end of the day, they are trying to bring you to a particular place that they love. But what will happen is that somebody will be stronger than the other. Let me put another word. You will cooperate with one more than you will cooperate with another. Do you follow me? At the end of the day, the forces will by themselves push in one direction. A lot of times when they are pushing you somewhere you don't like, you start sweating. You understand? To retard the progress. Let me give a practical example. American marriages are always good for counseling. You understand my point? Go and read Demos Shakarian's book. He and his wife, I don't think they know the meaning of counseling. They were always in agreement all the days of their life. Do you understand my point? And that is the testimony I consider. That is, till I die, I will never need counseling. Say, me and my wife, okay. Oh. He said, okay. Now, it is because you talk too much. You know, the way psychology, I bought a book recently. Is Addicted to Recovery. It was by two American doctors, husband and wife, who are Christians. They were tired of what psychology is doing to U.S., you understand? How Sigmund Freud had caused confusion in their land. You understand? The very interesting book, Addicted to Recovery. You know, everything is not your fault, it's your childhood. When you have a problem, let's talk. You start thinking about your childhood. Okay, well, your father used to shout on you in public. So now, anytime you go to public, your tongue glues to your throat. It's not your fault, it's your father's fault. So you now resolve it. Now, all those things are what God called what? Sweat. Where the spirit of joy and liberty, the spirit of unity and progress, what coming out of God will have led a man into joy and peace and prosperity. No, they have tapped into the spirit of destruction and evil in the land. Now, he's about to split their marriage, so they start sweating. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instead of connecting into the spirit of God. Do you follow me? Look, listen, there was something I said to you before that. A lot of things that are taught, you know, 55 ways on how to make money, 16 habits of rich people that you are trying to copy. That is what I call sweat. Sweating for people that the spiritual force upon their life is leading them towards poverty. But the Bible said, by strength shall no man prevail. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? That all this sweating, God said, you can never prevail like that. That you can never prevail like that. That the only way you will prevail is if spiritual forces are cooperating with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why I wrote that track, Grace to Live By. That this is how to progress in life. That is, I want to go somewhere. Paul said, just rest. As I am resting, God just, you know, the whirlwind comes. Chariots of fire just drags me up to heaven. Do you understand my point? That is rest. Are you getting my point? It is not the sleep of death. You know, this one like, what thing will go do now? Nothing. Like, there was one film watched long ago when I was very young. I better fight here and die here. Tanks were coming. Men were carrying guns. They tied their legs that they must, lion of the desert, yes, I remember, Umamuta. The men said they will fight till death. Unfortunately, when the Italians came, it was with tanks. And they were shooting at the tanks with small guns. So the tanks ran over them. That is the sleep of death. That is, they were in a position, but nothing was happening in their favor. You want to see rest? Check the American pilot these days, you know. When he wants to bomb the whole of Iraq, he presses a few buttons in his plane. You can't even see him. He's coming. That is rest. He's relaxing. Sitting in one place also. But all the forces of warfare are cooperating with him. Do you understand my point? I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Let me summarize therefore by saying this. God said, labor to enter into rest. That is, learn to connect the spiritual forces of life. Do you understand my point? That is, when you do that, all other things shall be added unto you. That all the sweating that men are sweating, we won't understand why they need to sweat. Now, I think I should repeat this before I go. When spiritual forces are pushing a man in one direction that he doesn't like, and he wants to revert it, he starts using what? Sweat. Human energy. Anything you are sweating over, the spiritual forces are not cooperating yet. Do you get me? But let me finish by saying one thing. See, God has deposited inside every child of God the oasis of that spiritual force that can turn every other thing in life to cooperate with him. You understand what I'm going to say? The major thing that we do as Christians is what? That doesn't allow you to comfort is that we quench the spirit. That was what I preached in that tape that I was telling you about earlier. Because listen, although there's one, sometimes, like Paul would say to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. That is, the force is there, but you don't allow it to be released. Do you understand my point? That is one. And second is that people sometimes actively quench it. That is, the force is trying to break through. No. they cooperate. You know, let me tell you the easy way you cooperate with negative forces. In fact, it's very simple. Just agree with them. You understand what I mean? But they won't tell you that, you know, what we want to do is to kill you. No. No. You know what Solomon said? They will come and say, let us put our money together. Let's go and stop these people coming here. Let's take their goods. Let's do this. That way we'll make money for ourselves. Do you understand? Or Solomon said, I saw a young man and I saw one boisterous woman saying that, the man of the house has traveled. You know, just come. We'll eat our fill of love. Come, my bed is made and all that. He said, and I saw the foolish boy follow her. He said, he doesn't realize that he is just walking to his death. Now, this is the point I'm coming to. That is, people who are cooperating with negative forces don't realize that they are cooperating for negativity in their lives. Because they come with enticing words. Oh, boy, let's be safe. Let me tell you, Lagos, that is where money is. This one you are doing in Enugu, you won't go far. You understand my point? And the person is talking to you. The Bible says that, because, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. All right? The end thereof are the ways of death. He said, how can the young man keep his spiritual path on the positive side? He said, by keeping it according to your word. Now, why did I say that? When they are giving that person that counsel, God is just saying that he that has an evil eye pursues after wealth, but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. That is, by cooperating with those who are saying, let us work against the will of God so we can get wealth. He said he has cooperated with what? The coming of poverty. That is why he will get there and he can't sleep. You have to understand that they told him that here you will make a million naira. So the first thing we have to do is wake up at 4 a.m. He said, in this town, it's 4 we wake up. He said, why? No, that's how we wake up in this town. Okay. Then at 5, he said, let's go home. He said, no, how can you go? We'll walk from 4 to 10 p.m. I will get back home by 12 midnight. That means only sleep for 4 hours. He said, no, but you want money. Then one day he gets a lot of money. He's 45. Then he gets a stroke and he dies. Why? Because he has spent his physical energy sweating, trying to overcome the force of poverty. Do you understand my point? I remember when I was a youth couple those days, I had a colleague. You know the thing he feared the most in life was poverty. That was why this young man, he told me, in fact, he was the abortion specialist in the whole village. When they were talking, he said that he didn't used to be like that too. It is love of money. Now, he didn't tell me it's his love of money, but when he finished explaining, it's love of money. He said when he was the house officer, he wouldn't go near it. Then one day the guy calculated, man, time they pass. Man need money. I have to go back home to see that I made it. And then he took his conscience and killed it. Just took small hot iron, put it inside the fire, pierced it through his chest. His conscience died. He started making money. What the guy said he feared most in life, that is what led him there. That's the point I'm coming to. He said he feared poverty. You know, I told you before, what controls what a man does is what his delight is in. You understand my point? It's what his delight is in. That is, if a man delights in the Lord, even if he has to go hungry, even if he has to go half naked, because the risk is displeasing the Lord. You understand my point? Here we go. But the one whose delight is in having money, that the only fear he has in life is poverty. God, you can stay on one side though. You understand? I'm coming. Let me finish what I'm doing. But the point I'm saying here is this. By doing that, he's cooperating with the forces of poverty. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I've spoken at length today. I know I've summarized about 4 times now. Right? Okay. But the final summary. Onyekachukwu, don't worry. This is the final summary. All right. It's the final summary. All right? The final summary, therefore, is simple. Paul said, labor to connect into the ways of having spiritual things work in your favor. Do you understand me? After now, I will explain about the spiritual forces. One that we need to stir up, some that we need to kill so that they will not quench the spirit. Remember, inside you dwell the oasis of the greatest spiritual force of all. I said this, let me say it again. That you can generate spiritual forces inside something. You understand my point? You, from science, you know that. You can have a generator generate a lot of, what do you call it now? Yes, charge. Let me give an example. If you ever put on a flash for a camera, you know, it will hiss for some time. Have you ever tried that before? Now, if you try to put on the flash, then that's use the flash for that. It doesn't come on. What it first does is it's storing up energy, generating it from the batteries you put inside. Then suddenly it delivers one large voltage so that the flash, the bulb of the flash comes out very bright. All right. I'm explaining that you can generate in the same manner spiritual energy within yourself. Number two was I said that it's contagious. You understand my point? You can contact it from somebody. Now, 2 points I've made from there. It's a summary, right? So I'm not making new points. I said that, or did I say this, or I'm supposed to have said it, that the Lord Jesus generated the highest amount of spiritual energy possible on the earth. That is why he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Do you understand me? That is, within him lies the great, there is no spiritual force strong enough to withstand the one that he generated. Do you understand me? And I said, it is contagious. That's why Paul said, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that is, you can tap that generated force within the person of Christ Jesus into your own person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And when you have it, you have to release it and let it do its proper work and prevent yourself from quenching it, from hindering it. You talk about the parable of the sower. This seed has life in itself, but when it was coming up, what happened? The thorns choked it, and it couldn't bear fruit. You understand what I've said so far? Please, get the point, because that's what we want to lay our emphasis on. These spiritual forces can be generated. They control life. Physical life, in fact, as far as I understand it, is just a demonstration of what is going on in the realm of the spirit. When Saul offended God, on the physical realm, we saw an evil spirit run him mental. You understand my point? The spiritual offense was what? Disobedience to God. When Saul offended God further, we saw it on earth that he died. And the Bible said it was because God killed him. When David pleased God, God killed Saul and transferred the kingdom over to the hands of David. Meaning that if we learn how to use the spiritual forces properly, we will have no problem. You see, a lot of the religions we have on earth, all them so-called, is it New Age, they call it, all them Buddhism and all that. They understand some of these things. The main error they have, you understand? The main error is that they don't understand who is the father of all spirits. Do you get my point? They understand some of these things, but they don't understand that no one can go to the father but through his son, Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? What am I sitting down, crossing my legs and meditating and trying to create an aura around myself for? When I can carry a scripture and throw it at me, you understand my point? And everybody's responding to that. That is the spirit of Christ. We talk about the spirit of prophecy. Can you remember? All right? He said the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. Do you get my point? Now, we'll talk also about how, although we have said that again, but we can't say it enough, how to release those spiritual forces by the mouth. It's what you say. My people say that if a man wants to step on cool and wet ground, you know what he will do? He will throw water ahead of him. That is, if you throw water ahead, you step on cool ground. There's a proverb in my place. So if the ground is hot, get a bucket of water, throw it in front. When you get there, it is cool. In the same manner, if you are going to step into coolness in front in your life, today you start using your mouth to throw water into it. So that, look, listen, please, I have, this is the summary, it's part of the summary, alright, listen, God has not ordained for you to struggle in life, listen to me, what he ordained is that spiritual things will cooperate with you, you are walking by grace. Paul said, what should you do therefore? Labor to enter into that rest. You know, I was telling you the other day, it was my wife who was telling you, I went to Sokoto and I saw a book with my pastor friend there. 165 questions to ask when you want to choose a marriage partner. Please, if you are here, you are hearing me, don't ever read that book. For your own sake and my own too. That is so that I won't deny you tomorrow that I don't know you. That is sweating when favor is not working in your behalf. You know, I just finished writing a book, pamphlet on the will of God. You know, everybody's asking that question, the will of God. I said, how did I know that my wife was the will of God? It's simple. I saw her, I liked her, period. God is my witness. There was no extra thing. I saw her, I liked her, period. Did you dream? If I can't remember, maybe I did. You see vision? No. Which kind of vision? I have never seen vision in my life. I have friends who see vision. Somebody prophesied for you. If somebody prophesied, I would not have believed it. There are certain prophecies I don't take about this shall be your wife. Because I have heard too many confusion-generating prophecies. 165 questions to ask. I don't think I asked up to 3 questions. In fact, the most important one, will you marry me? The one question to ask. That is sweating now when the earth is producing bad women for you. No, it's true. My own earth is growing good women. You understand my point? So I don't have to sweat. 165 questions to ask. If you see the kind of foolish questions, at the end of the day, say, when you are finished asking the question, you now plot for a courtship for the next 2 years and say, when will I not marry now? Because 165 questions, is it one a day? No, listen, is it one question a day? The girl will not say she's doing an interview. So to marry Onyeka Chukwu now is a job. So you come with your CV, 165 questions. My God in heaven. So when you finish, you go, okay, let's have one question a week. How many weeks will you use to ask 165 questions? Then you now plan for under 3 years courtship. By that time, Kingsley will have 6 grandchildren. You see me interviewing women. Oh, yeah, Kabeck, don't try to. I'm telling you the honest truth. Oh, nonsense is that. It is the sweat that God cursed Adam with, all those kind of principles. You know my principle in life? I told you I have the spirit of Joseph. Pharaoh just said, hey, Potiphar, bring that to your daughter. She's fine. I want to give her to this my guy. Abi? And she gave birth to Ephraim and Manasseh. And all other things are added to all of them. Do you get my point? What's the idea? Spiritual forces cooperating with your life. Paul said, labor to enter into that rest. What did I define rest as? It's a place where you are, where things are working by themselves. Sweat, sorrow, is a place where you are, where things are working against you and you are striving by your physical strength to correct them. The sleep of death is where you have gotten to, you have given up. Life is just running over you. No, what God wants for you is rest. What God wants for you is rest. And there is a method for stepping into God's rest. Now I have summarized. Let us pray. Oh, our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for today because you have indeed blessed us greatly with your word. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you. Lord, I ask again that you open our eyes so that we will see what to do to step into God's rest. Because we know that when we step into your rest, we have ceased from our own labors. We have ceased from our own labors. That's why we want to labor to enter into that rest. Lord, we trust that you will give it to us, that instruction, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And this year will be a good year for everyone listening to this sound today in Jesus' name. I declare that, like my pastor said in church, it will be your year of restoration and double fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. It will be well with you in all that you do. The spiritual forces of favor will be active on your behalf. Sweating will never be your portion again. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.